I'm going to be speaking on something today that it could upset some people. It could upset some of their theology of what they've been taught and what they believe. And I will try to, let's see how to word that. I will try to explain my reasoning behind some of the things that I'm going to speak on. And if anybody should totally disagree with what I'm going to be saying, then I would encourage you to come see me and we could talk about it later. It is not a biblical theology that I'm going to be speaking about, but it does have to do with the church, the family, and the body. That I'm going to be speaking on is one of the most misread, misinterpreted, and also abused passages of the Bible. So we're going to start off with Ephesians 5, 22 through 25. And I know that there isn't a husband in this place that doesn't know this passage of the Bible. Guarantee you. Guaranteed. And even though Paul wrote it, and he was never married, but still he was, it becomes a husband-wife deal. And those of us that have been married for a little while understand that, you know, you go through rough times, you go through, that makes you stronger, and it's better the longer you're married. Because in actuality, my bride and I, tomorrow, will have been married 52 years. Fifty great years.
Praise God.
Couple of years there were kind of shaky. But so when the things I'm going to be speaking on here are things that a lot of guys would not like to hear. And a lot of wives would like to hear. But I think it's something important that the Lord has just been impressing upon me on this. But Ephesians 5, 22 through 25, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. So we look at that, and right away, guys are, I'm done. That's it. That's all I need to read right there. It's done. Wife, submit yourself to me. Throw a log on the fire. Come on, what are you doing? I'm hungry. Go make me some grits and eggs. That's not what submitting unto their husbands, their own husbands, and only their husband, not other men. It doesn't mean that women are submissive only to, you know, they have to obey every man that walks by. No. To their husbands, not their boyfriends, not their future wives, but only to their husbands. And the word submit means to be in harmony with. So you're not a slave to your spouse, your husband. You're in harmony, the two as one. Two separate, joining together. Then it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. What we're missing is the part about Christ being the head of the church. So we're saying here, guys, your wife is to be submissive to you. You are the head of the family. Start acting like it. Start acting like the priest of your household. Don't sit back there and say, well, my wife will take care of that. She'll do it. Does Christ say, well, go ahead and I'll let the pastors decide what my word is? There is no Bible. Just whatever you want to talk about. No, he doesn't, because he is the head of the church. He is responsible for it. What they're saying here is, guys, you're responsible for that family. You're responsible for your wife. It's not just, oh, well, go ahead and do it. And then it says, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wife be subject to their husbands in everything. That doesn't mean you tell your wife everything she's going to do. Your wife and you go to a dress store, and you're going to go to a fancy party, so you're going to get a nice dress for your wife. And she's got two really nice ones, a green one and a red one. And she's like, which one do you like, the green one or the red one? So, I don't know, I kind of like the green one. I don't know, I really like the red one. Well, then you buy the green one, because I know. It's her decision. She's asking your opinion. She's not asking for your domination. And that's not, it's not saying dominate your wives. Dominate them. Go ahead. Get all over your wife. Dominate them. But the husband, again, is to take on the responsibility as the head of the family, as Christ is also the head of the church. That's a big responsibility, guys. It's a big responsibility. But it's not only there. Also in Colossians 3:18 and 19, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and not be bitter against them. Now again, the word submit in the Greek is to be in harmony with your wife. The wife is to be in harmony with her husband. Not just, I'm going to dominate and do what I want and you're going to obey me and you don't have any say. That's not a marriage. And I have known people that's the way they lived. I had a brother, passed away many years ago, but he felt that. He believed that he could do what he wanted, when he wanted, and his wife better just shut up and not say anything, not complain. He was a heavy drinker, so he'd go out and get drunk. He'd be gone 12, 14 hours, out partying, come back, fix me something to eat. Just shut up and fix me something to eat. And she allowed it to continue and continue and continue. Until one day she had enough and hit him with a cast iron frying pan and laid him out. Then he didn't speak bad to her about breakfast anymore. But she also believed in that passage in Ephesians that it's the wife is just a second-class person, and they're not. It's not that way. I mean, men would love to have it, you know, be that society. Like, I know when I was in Africa in Kenya with the Maasai, and women can't speak unless spoken to by their husbands. And they have multiple wives, and the wives do everything, and the husbands go to council and make decisions, and the wives do all the work. They come back and tell their wives, we're moving, and they start walking. The wives have to gather up everything, and follow behind and then make the Bomas, get their houses ready, get everything, and then the men go to council, because that's important. That's not what is being said. That's not what's meant. You know, the men might think that's a great society. Women don't talk. Of course, my wife is just the opposite. She wishes I would shut up and not talk so much. But there again, that word submit means to be in harmony with one another. Wives, be in harmony with your husbands. That's the importance of the understanding it. Another is Titus 2, 4, and 5. And it says, and that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and love their children. Again, here he's talking about the wife's responsibility in the family. And then it says, to be discreet, chastened, keeping the home good, obedient to their own husbands. Not obedient to the point that, again, like I said, you're a slave. But when they're talking about being obedient to their husbands, it's their husband's authority as the priest of the household. Not as the master, not as the king, not as the ruler, but as the priest of the household and how it is. And the word obey in the Greek means to agree with. If you look at it in Greek, in the Greek language, where it said obedience means agree, not submit where you're down on your knees. And no, it's agreement with your husband. Women, be in agreement with them. Don't think that you have the best choice. You have the best. Together, talking together and bringing it together. And I'm going to get into in a little bit as to where this is coming from. Where all of this is actually coming from. But, and then 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, you wives, be subject to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be owned by the conversations of the wives. What he's saying here is, wives, if your husband is off in la-la land and is not being the priest of the household, he's saying, well, I'm going to Vegas this week. I don't know what you're doing. You coming with? You don't have to be obedient and say, oh, yes, yes, whatever you want, master. No. And if they sit there and they start not being the priest of the household, but they want to tell you how you're going to live, and how your family is going to be, it's saying here that the women need to speak up and say, no, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the word says. You need to be the proper priest of your household. If not, and your woman speaks to you to correct you, that's biblical. Because you're not taking on your responsibility as men. You're not taking on your responsibility as the head of the family as Christ is the head of the church. Stop letting your women run everything. A lot of men would just as soon have their wives run everything and they don't have to worry about it. So, hey, she's doing it. I'll let her do it. Then I don't have to. It's laziness, and you're not doing what's responsible. You got to get into the Word. You need to read the Word. We need to be solid with it. But a woman does not need to be submissive to the authority of their husbands as the priest if they are not truly acting as the priest. It's very easy to try to dominate, try to control everything, and not give your wives the decency and respect that they deserve, and take on the authority that is yours and given to you by God. So, you know, as we start looking at, I'm not going to speak for a long time today, and everybody says yay. So as I'm looking at, you see, a lot of guys that all they want to do is read the first part of Ephesians, we're done. Woman, shut up and do what I tell you. That's what the Bible says you're supposed to do. Well, when we get back into Paul in Ephesians, he's speaking to the church of Ephesus. And at that time, Ephesus was in Turkey, and it was a hub of international trade, and it was just next to Rome. It was the second largest nation next to Rome, or city next to Rome. And it was a hub of disgusting, vile wickedness. People were coming from all over the world trading there, and they were bringing all their paganistic garbage with them. So it was very difficult for the churches to understand, okay, I'm seeing this guy is over here, he's got six girlfriends. And there's this woman over here, she's been sleeping with 18 different guys. They argue, they disagree. How is it supposed to be? He's telling them, this is how your family is supposed to be. This is how the husband and wife are supposed to be living together, godly. But there again, like I said, he wasn't married, so he had never experienced it. But he knew what the Word said on it. So he had gone back and he was looking for what was actually being said and what was in the Old Testament. Since he was a tremendous scholar, Paul was, when he was in the Sanhedrin, was the rabbi's rabbi. I mean, he was up there as a leading scholar of the Torah. He understood it inside and out, and he knew the law, and he knew how things were to be. He had studied it, and he was very in-depth in it. So it goes back as you start to understand, where is this coming from? Where the things that Paul is saying, the things that Peter is saying, where is it coming from? Did they just pick it out of the sky? Did the Holy Spirit speak to them and say, this is what you're supposed to be doing? Or did they look at the Word that was written already? And what Paul was doing, he was looking at what God had said. And he was basically interpreting what it was. If you look at Genesis 3, 16 through 18, and it says, to the woman, he said, I will greatly increase your suffering and your childbearing. In pain shall you bear child, which those who have just had some children know about that. Okay. Your craving shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to the voice of your wife. And ate of the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Accursed is the ground because of you. Through suffering shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall sprout from you. Now, what's being said there is that, man, you're going to suffer with hard labor. You're going to have to work really hard. Everything you do now will not be paradise where you were at. But I got to ask, you see, with the conditions that were there at the time now, you're kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And everything is going to have to be done physically. You're going to have to move rocks. You're going to have to dig out thorns. You're going to have to struggle to get your food physically. But as I was reading in the Babylonian Talmud, it speaks about what was really being said here about this is the physical part. Since man is going to have to work so hard, and everything that they do now, shelter and everything, will have to be physically done. It will have to physically be built. You're going to have to physically do a lot. Who is stronger, men or women? Men are. I mean, we're running through that right now with men competing and trying to compete against women in women's sports because they can't compete against the guys. So they want to beat the women and show, even though they're inferior with the men, they're dominating the women. They're stronger. That's what this was talking about, the physical strength that you are dependent upon my physical strength in order to do these things. You can't lift them. You can't move it, but I can. So you're dependent in all things upon my physical strength. When you look at when it says here about women, so you have to rule over your, be ruled by your man. So you're going to look at one part and say, this is what it means. God was telling you that I rule over you. Well, did you, John, let me ask you something. When Briley was in labor, did you go and say, you got to have more pain, girl? That ain't enough. Or were you there caring? You were caring and wanting her pain and her suffering to be over. But God said she's supposed to have it, so you didn't cheer, yay, you're in pain. No. It wouldn't have gone over very well. You would have been in the pain right now yet. But why then, when men will read this and women, and read this and say, you know, a husband, he's going to rule, supposed to rule over me. Okay? But that's not what's happening here. Who's God talking to? When God is, in this particular, who is God talking to? Is he talking to a man? No. He's talking Eve, woman. He says woman. He's not saying, husband, man, I want you to dominate over this woman. Is that what he said? He didn't tell Adam, dominate her, control her, be her boss, be in charge of everything. He didn't say, who was he talking to? Who was God talking to when he says, to the woman, he said. Adam's not a woman. Adam wasn't a woman. So it must not have been talking to Adam. But then to Adam, he said, you shall, because you listened to her, you're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to work for everything. Did he say, Eve, you make sure he's out there working daily. You make sure he toils. It's going to be hard on him, and you make sure it happens. Is that what he said? He didn't say that. He told Adam something different. But you see, when I was reading in the Tanakh there, or the Talmud, it was the physical strength that man was more stronger than woman. So that they're talking about was the physical strength. But it also says that it will also then restore the status of the wife being the crown of the man. The crowning glory of man is his wife, his woman. And the crown represents the authority, but given authority, not taken authority. There's a big difference. And then, because for that crowning part, if you go to Proverbs 12:4, an accomplished woman is the crown of her husband. When you're wearing that crown, you're proud of it. It represents your authority. It represents who you are. And that wife is that crown. She's the one that brings you the glory, brings you the happiness, brings you together. And a marriage is two separate people, two separate individuals. They all got fingers, they all got everything, but they're two separate individuals.